I don't know how to explain some of the things. Probably you don't either. But I can remember this: for the last 15 or 20 years, I have been declaring, and you've been saying, the change coming. We've all said it. And I found myself guilty of the same rapture theory is coming. I preached that, Brother Bob, when I first read anything. It's coming. Just hang on. Hold on. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep fighting. It's coming. But that's what I said about when I was introduced to the kingdom of God that was within me. There's a change coming. Oh, it's going to come. But I go to church the next Sunday and say the same thing I said the Sunday before. I mean, and the people, and I found this out. If I said anything different, the people didn't know what I was saying. Because they're used, and if you pastor, and some of you are, and you know this, people is programmed up here for you to say certain things at a certain time, and if you say that, they understand it. And if you say something they've never heard before, it don't mean nothing to them. But that's got to be broken somewhere. That thing has got to change, and it's going to have to change by the sounding of a trumpet. It just has. I don't know if we can sound the trumpet, but I believe we can. I heard this, and I'll share it with you. The Apostle Paul spoke of two mysteries. One of them was the mystery of Christ in you, that is the hope. Now look what he said. He never said it was the glory, but he said the mystery, and he called it a mystery, which was a hidden truth. That's all a mystery is. It's a truth that's still hid. So you look at it and you say, that's truth. Yeah, but the meaning of it is hid. Until the Spirit of truth can take the truth and turn it to life, it's still truth, but it's just letter. Do we say amen to that? And so we preach, well, the Bible said it, and the Bible did say it. And what the Bible said, I believe, is the truth. But you know and I know, we get down there and quote scripture until somebody falls dead, and it don't do nothing for nobody. It don't do anything for me. I mean, and I don't mean, maybe I am sacrilegious. I hope I am. I lay this down sometime. I won't pick it up for 2 or 3 days. And I'm not saying that's what you do. I'm not telling you what to do, but I do what I do. Because if I just pick it up and read it, I can commit I can commit scripture to my memory and can quote them to you just that quick. We said, well, the Word of God said, no, the Word of God didn't say it. The Scripture said it. That's the truth. On the other hand, if we, and we are beginning to understand who we really are, and you may agree with what I say, that's fine, but if you don't, it don't mean that. I mean, you're not going to offend me if you don't believe what I say. And don't get offended if I don't stop saying it because you don't believe it. Is that a fair deal? That's all right, isn't it? So there's two mysteries. One was the mystery of Christ in you. And ask any preacher that preaches it, and 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you it's still a mystery. It's all he's in you. See, it's my conviction that he's in every man. I believe Christ is in every man. I don't believe man was ever lost in the way that the church said man was lost. I believe I was lost from my true identity of who I really was. In that sense, I was lost. And I need to be found. I heard Gary Ziegler make a statement, and he'll hear this tape. So, Gary, I've said you said it. He said, God never did tell a man that a man was a born sinner. Who told him? I know this, and it's not even a matter of debating. I know now I'm a spirit being. Well, church taught me you're a human being having a spiritual experience. That's a bunch of stuff. We are spirit beings. I came out of my father. I'm an offspring of my father. And my father is spirit. My father is spirit. And I'm an offspring. He said this and that. He said, you are children of light. That meant that which begot me had to be light. We are children of light. We never was children of darkness. Darkness not involved, but I wasn't a child of darkness. I'm a child of light. Then he said, walk as children of light. So the Christ in you, the hope of glory, is still a mystery. We preach it, but we've been unable to unfold that mystery. We say, oh, he's in you. And we'll turn right around declaring that he's in me and try to go out there somewhere to contact him. That about plain as I know how to say it. You see, if we revert to our normal standard teaching of praying, we still pray to Father up down to somewhere, trying to get Father to do something down here somewhere. That's bad. Somebody called me this week, and they said, well, do you pray anymore? I said, of course I pray. They said, you do? I said, well, of course I do. And then they want to know how I prayed. I said, well, how do you pray? They said, well, I pray in Jesus' name. I said, really? In Jesus' name. And there's not one in a million knows what that name is. It ain't J-E-S-U-S. That ain't what he's talking about, and we all know that. You can stand there and holler, Jesus, you fall dead in your tracks. And I've said it again, I say now, he ain't here. He said, I got to get out of here. Didn't he say it? He said, if I don't leave, he could have said, if I don't leave, you're going to keep following me around, blundering around the same old mountain that you've always, but he said, I've got to get out of here. Then he made a promise. He said, but I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you somebody, and he's going to guide you into all truth. Now, hear what I'm going to say. Jesus never could take me into all truth. He didn't come for that. That never was his mission. That never was his purpose. And I've said this, and it's a strange statement, but Jesus never come to save the world. No, he didn't. He said he didn't. He said, I come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did he not say it? Tell me one Gentile that he went to. And I'm saying this for a purpose now. If we don't recognize that the man Jesus finished what he come here to finish, he said he did in John 17. And if you look at John 17, he never said anything about coming to save the world. He come to reveal the Father to the world. That's what to manifest, to declare his name. That's what he said. He said, now, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. I declared your name. I proclaimed your name. And the word name there means identity or the nature. Because he said back in John, he said, you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If you see me, you see the Father. Then he said, me and Father one. I wonder why we don't say that and mean that. Why do we still have the mentality that it's me and Jesus? Or me and the Father. That's duality. That's a double mind. It just is, folks. And I believe there's a trumpet that's sounding that's about to change some of this stuff. Look, we've been going around this mountain I have for 40-some years of my life. And I don't know about you, but I'm just about fed up with going around the same old mountain, hearing the same old thing, trying to get the same old thing done over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, common sense will tell us some things hadn't worked. If it don't work, why don't we change it? I don't know. That make sense? So the mystery of Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. He didn't say Jesus. Let me know Jesus is not in you. Oh, come on. You know better. Christ is in you. The man, Jesus, won't ever be again. He said you won't know him after the flesh anymore. And somewhere, and there's some folks all across the country getting a hold of this. They really are. And I'm not so certain that it is for everybody. I shared this with somebody, maybe with some of you, I don't remember, but there was a man come to where Jesus was in the crowd. He said, I know who you are. Remember the story? He said, you've come to torment us before our time. We need to hear that. We need to hear that. If you try to take some of the unveiling that God is revealing to you as a priesthood, if you try to take that to everybody out there, you're going to be a tormentor and you'll torment them before their time. You just can't do it. This ain't a blanket statement that you just throw on everybody and say, oh, come on in. We did that, Brother Bob. And I remember we used to get so upset because folks wouldn't come and hear us. We wanted the crowds to come. We wanted the multitude to come. And of course, they told me in that day, if you have a big tent. Yeah. Yeah. If you'd fast so many days and go through all these ceremonies and get you a big tent, the crowd would come. I tried that. I don't know, somehow it didn't pan out like it did for some of the folks I seen. So the mystery of Christ is in you. The other mystery he mentioned was pretty emphasized pretty strong. The mystery of iniquity does already work until. And that used to puzzle me. You see, there is he that letteth iniquity work. And it ain't the bad man. It ain't the booger man. It ain't a man with a pitchfork and a fork and tail spitting fire in his mouth. The mystery of, and the word iniquity is not a bad word. It had nothing to do with sin. You could probably make sin out of it. But the word iniquity means refusing to conform to a law. And if you go inside your house, we'll find out there's been a lot of times in here that I refuse to conform to a truth.
Yeah.
So he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work until he be taken out of the way. But in the same, and he put this in Thessalonians, but in that same setting of scripture, he said something else. He said, there is that appearing that will take care of all these things by the brightness of his appearing and by the out of his mouth. Did he not say it? Now let's think on that a moment. The appearing he's talking about, and I say this, is not about a man called Jesus appearing. It is the Christ of God that's in every man. When he stands up, when he appears, when he shows himself to the iniquity.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And he's in here.
Yes.
And he's now arising.
Yes.
Within his own house. He's showing himself nor to be Lord of lords and King of kings. Let me emphasize something. And this is for me. And for you, fine. You take it and be done, it's fine. But when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, I never think of a man anymore. It is a living, quickening, life-giving word. It said plainly, he was the word made flesh. Now I'll ask you, who are you? Come on here now. And I've had the pleasure this afternoon of talking to Colorado, Texas, Tennessee, and they pretty much all the same thing. They want some answers. They want some reality in their life. I do. I refuse to play a game with anybody anymore. I will not. I say this. I will not be a part any longer of a system that dwells on what has been. It ain't no good. There is an appearing of the Christ in his true identity now showing himself alive by many infallible proofs. And I've repeated this for months, and I say it again. I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have equal standing with him. He's no further on the totem pole than you are. And that takes nothing from Jesus. That takes, thank God for Jesus, that takes nothing from him. But we need to understand, as he is, so are we in this present world. And we're making a bad mistake in trying to get him to do something that he don't intend to do. He made this statement, and I'm going to read something in a minute. But he made the statement. He said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Will you pray tell me why we're still trying to get him to do something when he sent you to do it? I sure like me now. Go to the Song of Solomon. Let's read some scripture. If you get hungry and thirsty, there's food and drink. If you get sleepy, you want to take a nap, there's a bed. Kick your shoes off. Make yourself comfortable. It's hard for me to say out of this book. If you heard me preach, you know that by now. Song of Solomon chapter 2. And I'll hit some things and just keep running, because if I stop, I won't get out of there. And it's a repeat, it's a rehash of some things. But I find every time I read it, there's some life in it to me that I've never been before. I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. And all my life I preached that was somebody else. It ain't. It's you. It's me. I'm the rose of Sharon. I'm the lily of the valley. We really are. He said it. Why argue with it? The apple tree, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. Now read this real plain. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And I said, if I didn't hit this run, I say that I ain't gonna, because I preached this before. He used the word shadow and fruit. And as long as you're in types and shadows, there's a fruit. And it's sweet. But you'll never know anything about the mystery that's in you if you keep sitting under somebody else's tree, under somebody else's shadow, and eating somebody else's fruit. Is that plain enough? I don't think. If I'm sitting under the shadow of a man called Jesus, and I love Jesus, but if I'm sitting under the shadow of that man, and I keep eating that fruit, when he said all the time, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Jesus don't bear the fruit. He just does it. He just does it. You're the fruit bearer. We're the branches. And I'm going to say, if I keep sitting under that shadow, I'll keep eating the fruit of the types and shadows. Mm-hmm. But Bobby, what we did in Pentecost. Thank God for my Pentecost. But I'll tell you now, I pray God never take me back to my Pentecost. You see, we made Pentecost something that never intended me to start with. Pentecost was meant to be a fulfillment. A fulfilling of a feast. It was never meant to build a doctrine or a teaching on. It was never the unknown tongue that we were told it was. Because all you got to do is read the second chapter of the book of Acts, and you'll find the 16 nations that know everything they're talking about. It wasn't an unknown tongue. Hello? An unknown tongue, Paul said, speaketh or revealeth mysteries. An unknown tongue is a tongue that unveils a mystery that you never heard before. That's an unknown tongue. And I declare to you, there's going to be a lot of the unknown tongues begin to herald around the world. Yes. It's an unknown tongue. Yes. It's never been heard before. Yes. It's never spoken before. It's unknown.
Hallelujah.
Ooh.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We need not be afraid to speak.
Yes.
Leave. Leave the shadows of where we have been. Leave that part rim. It ain't going to perfect nobody. The best you can do is put a Band-Aid on something that you ain't going to cure by using a part rim ministry in it. You just can't do it. This strong stuff. That ain't anything worse but a shadow. And it's sitting under a shadow of something that has faded, that it used to be. And I say why people have to have it, because they don't know anything else. I know, I've been out there, and you have too, so you've been out there. And I've gone into places, you have, the Lord will speak something to your heart, and you stand and declare it, what you know. And they sit there. And get up and go home the next day and do their thing and come back the next Sunday waiting for you to tell them something they want to hear. And so here comes somebody with prophesying to them. And don't get me wrong. I can be all things to all men. If I need to prophesy, I can prophesy. I can speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than y'all. I do that. But for what purpose? Hello now. Somebody said, you're going to quit speaking in tongues? I'm praying about it. No, I'm serious. I'll tell you why. He said tongues going to cease.
Yes.
And he said prophecy going to fail. Yes. If it's going to cease and fail, why do I want to keep doing it? I mean, I go back to what the late Bill Britton called about the pattern son. He said Jesus was the pattern son, and I don't have an argument with that. But I never found where he prophesied anybody. Did he, Brother Bob? And I'm not against prophesying now, but I'm saying you, it's a shadow. And I heard Preston Neve say this. The best that you can do in that part realm won't ever perfect anybody.
Right.
It won't. And I read this at your church. And I quote it again. That shadow, the types and the shadows of Pentecost, is all we had for 50 years. And man, I have been in some meetings I would never, ever, ever want to forget. But you see, my yesterday was my yesterday. Yeah. I heard old brother R.W. Schambach, and everybody knows R.W. Schambach. It ain't been too long ago. He just, bless God! You know R.W. I still preach the same thing I preached 40 years ago! Yeah. And he does. He'll spend 15 minutes to create a devil and spend 15 minutes to create a good God to take care of the devil. That's basically what it is. Yeah. I tell you what, I thank God I don't preach what I did 40 years ago. Yeah. Don't you? Man. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, my God. So I sat down in this room. If y'all know who she is, she's a percolating lady. She's a perky lady. She's a pretty lady too, but I gotta go because if I don't, we're gonna be here when the rooster crow in the morning. So go down to verse 8 for time's sake. Well, let's when you go into verse 8, go through verse 4, and you'll see she didn't always sit under that tree. You see, the tree experience is necessary to get you to the banqueting table. Yes. So don't knock that shade tree experience. But I tell you what, there's a different fruit at the banqueting table than it is on the tree. Yes. Yes. You'll see things at that banqueting table that you never seen sitting on that tree. Mm-hmm. You don't believe, look what she's seen. Mm-hmm. Somewhere she looked up and said, Oh, his banner over me. Mm-hmm. Ain't tongues interpretation. And I know some folks don't get this tape and they say, oh, Ray don't believe in tongues and prophesy. I ain't saying that at all. I'm telling you, I'm trying my best to go on down the road from it. Yeah. Yeah. And I get there. It wouldn't be surprising if I don't look behind you, see you coming right behind me. Because see, you have the same hunger in your heart I have in mine. Yeah. And you see, I need to point out where I don't care if I need to cut it loose. Brother, I can cut it loose. Mm-hmm. You show me where I need to cut it loose and that quick it's gone. I mean that from my heart. I don't have to prove nothing to nobody anymore except me. Amen. I told somebody this and maybe you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, love your enemies. I'm going to tell you something. You can't love an enemy until you love you. And when you love you, you find out you ain't got no enemies. You don't. I can stand and tell you the truth before God. I do not have an enemy. If there is one, he's here. And if he's in there, he's part of that mystery of iniquity. And he's about to drive them all away because he is standing up. Yes. The spirit of his mouth, the brightness of the appearing, is standing up in the house. Yes. And I declare to you, when he stands up, there's nobody left but him.
Hallelujah.
They just ain't.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I want to be cautious, but I have no fear in saying this. I am not so-called sonship. I am not so-called kingdom. Because sonship, as I was told it, was never right to start with. The kingdom, what we call kingdom preaching and living, nobody ever told me the real truth what kingdom was. Don't take offense now. I had to talk with somebody this past week about that. They said, well, we preach what Paul preached. I said, that's fine. He said, somebody who preached what Peter preached. I said, that's fine. Peter at least had two keys. Yeah. That's all he had. But that's what Jesus gave him, wasn't it? Two keys. Because when you go to Revelation, you find that Peter didn't have the keys of death and hell. Somebody else got those. Peter didn't have them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to preach a part thing. If I'm going to be there, I want the whole ball of wax.
Right.
If Peter had two keys, hallelujah, Peter, go use them. No, I'm not going to settle for two keys. He said, well, I preach what Paul preached. I said, that's fine. I said, how come Paul didn't preach what John seen on Revelation? I think Paul seen it. Now, this is my personal feeling. Paul seen a lot of things that he couldn't preach because he couldn't get them to believe it. You don't believe, go read Hebrews chapter 5, and he tried his best to get them to see the Melchizedek priesthood. And I said, this was, Jesus never took the gospel to the Gentiles. He told Paul to do it. He never told Paul to go to the Jews. Actually, when Paul met the light and heard the voice on the road, one place it said he went 3 years in the bed before he'd ever show himself to anybody else. I said, well, this, if you don't preach, and I said, now, let's look at something. Paul took a church order to the Gentiles. Paul never took the church order to the Jews, yet the Jews would become a part of it because he took that middle wall of perdition and tore it down. But all Paul preached was a church order. Is it not? He said Christ in you is the hope of glory. He said that Jesus said this. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, but he never elaborated. He never said a whole lot about it. He just said it's in you. But he knew the spirit of truth that he would send to me would tell me and guide me into what the kingdom really was.
Yes.
He didn't have to waste his time because he knew he wouldn't do it anyway. I tell you, no man will take you in the kingdom. The spirit of truth will take you to the kingdom. I tell you what man can do. A man can light the candle that's in you and light up your house. He said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Somebody asked me one day, I said, well, what do you preach? I said, I come to light your candle. I didn't come to get your soul saved. I didn't come to get your soul saved. I come to light your candle. And when the candle is lit in the house, in that many room, that many mansion house that you are, when the light comes on, your soul ain't, you're going to find that your soul ain't near as lost as you thought, as the church told you it was lost. That's okay. This is me. This is where I'm at. I'm not trying to get anybody saved. But I'll tell you this, you can't keep from getting people to know God if you light the light. If you light the candle. Light the candle.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the ifs there. Go in there and light the candle.
Yeah.
Somebody say how you do it. That's where I want to go to. I'll tell you this. We know by now you can't pray a man. You can't do it. My Lord God, I tried it. I fasted a lot like a diet. Really? Oh God, oh God, oh God, you saved, God, you saved. And I didn't all the time. He told me that's what he sent me here for, was to be the light of the world. Then he said. Well, if he sent you to be the light, why don't we keep trying to get him to do it? See, y'all can't run me off because I'm at home. I've been someplace where they wouldn't run me off, Brother Martin. I'm going to ask you just a second. Deep in your heart, we know this is truth. This is the way it is. But there's so much stuff up here. There's 10,000 witnesses up here. Say, yeah. No. But you see, the spirit of truth ain't going to be stopped this time. And I'm going to tell you something else. A man ain't going to touch this and stop it. We've been 2,000 years, thereabout, trying to get the world saved. And no disrespect to no man or woman in the world. I don't do that. But I've seen where Dr. Billy Graham's wife died. Maybe you've seen that on the news. 80-something year old? Yeah. And I guess Billy Graham himself is about ready to go. But he made a statement. And it's all Billy knows. Talk about what a companion she was to him in life, and apparently she was. But he looked forward to holding her hand again in heaven someday. And I thought, Billy Graham, if I could just get inside you for 3 minutes and let you see, you ain't gonna never hold that woman's hand nowhere, anytime, anywhere else, in heaven, out of heaven. No, you ain't gonna do it, Billy Graham. To start with, he don't even know what heaven she went to. Really? There's more than one of them. I've said this, I don't want to go to one on fire. I've done been to that one. I'm serious. Huh? And I don't want to go to the one he rolled up like a scroll, he's done with it. I've been to that one too. And when you look in Revelation, you see one. When the throne appears, and he that sat on the throne, and when that heaven and earth sees the throne, God, I see this in my being. When the heaven and earth sees the throne, and he that rightfully occupying the throne, it says they fled from him, and their place wasn't found no more.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but for me, I know that my heaven and earth is having a confrontation with somebody on the throne that I've never seen before in my life. And I'm telling you, how everything that has been since, for instance, is history. If we don't take this new world to this generation, and that's what it is. It ain't about heaven someday somewhere. It ain't about an earthling. It's about a life.
Yes.
It's about a life that we have become. And I'm not trying to live something. I just am. I talked with somebody this past week. He said, well, walk in the Spirit. I said, how can you not walk in the Spirit? That's what you are.
Amen. Hallelujah.
No, really.
Amen.
You're a spirit being. You're God's creation. How can you not be but what you are?
Amen.
And I know what we've been lied to. Amen. You do too.
Yeah.
I shared sometime this week with somebody the prodigal son. And man, I preached that poor man. I preached that poor man every way but the way he is. I tell you what, this thing is, I feel something burning in my belly. I said, follow him, look at him. He told the father, said, give me what's mine, I'm gone. Now that's volunteering. My oldest son Rick said, Dad, we volunteered to come here. I said, speak for yourself. Yeah, we did. Because you see, we sat with him at that council table laying this thing out. Let us make man. He said, let us do it. He knew that he was going to have us here to do the will. Then he put in the book. He said, it's written in the volume of the book. I come to do thy will, O God. And you mean you're going to get him to change what he already put in the book? He ain't going to have that page out. And I said, this is your place, and it just tickled my feet. It just tickled me all over. I never said it before. Everything I do is the will of God.
Amen. Yes. Come to do your will, O God.
That's what I come here for. Yes. And he put it in the book. Before I ever got here, he wrote it down in the book. Yes. Ray Basil, Son of God, Melchizedek, will come to do my will.
Yes.
Dot com plus nothing.
Yes.
Not so me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory.
Step out of his glory world. Come through a natural birth canal and lost his true identity, just like I did. My mom and daddy taught me a dialect that was totally foreign to me. That's why they had to teach it to me. You see, where I come from, we spoke a different language. Y'all hear me now. And I'm like Brother Presley, I believe God chose my mom and daddy for my natural birth canal to get me into this underworld, I call it. God knew what he was doing when he put that old Choctaw Indian daddy of mine and that Cherokee Indian mama of mine together. Such a contrast in their nature. Father knew what he was doing and told me about it before I ever left home. Your papa's going to be a Choctaw and your mama's going to be Cherokee. I don't know what that makes me. Old papa had a little bit of French in him. So that put the loving side of it in there. They had to teach me their way of doing things. They had to teach me how to talk their language. Did you ever hear a baby talk? You don't know what he's saying? You think he just jabbered? You better think again. We were actually taught a foreign language when we come through that natural birth canal of my mama into this world. To begin to get brainwashed into a system that would take it and has took his toll on a lot of people. I didn't know anything. I didn't know there was a God until I heard a voice. I never heard that voice before in my life, but when I heard that voice, I knew it was a voice. I knew that voice. Somehow I knew that voice. And that was the first time in my life I had heard somebody from home. You know what he said? Ray. Okay. So strange. I'm in the motel room by myself. Ain't nobody there but me and the boss. And he knows who I am. Of course he knows who I am. Second time I heard that voice, I lay inside my back in my living room. The same voice said the same thing. Ray. Man, that time I knew that voice. I didn't know who he was. I knew the voice. He said, get up and go preach my word. I laid him on my back. I said, me? I can't quote a scripture. I only have a Bible. All I knew was a guitar and honky-tonk blues. Don't you know? I was never lost. I was never lost. Where do we get the idiotic idea that we were lost and undone without God and His Son?